they're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball. We love that basketball. They're playing basketball.
And we are back. Soul Tape Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bill Neal, Kevin Cameron here for your enjoyment, and joined by the legendary Jim O'Brien, who's authored, now we know, over 30 books. I thought it was like 15 or so, but offered over 30 books, and I mean the knit and gritty of it all, the Jack Lambert story, the Clemente story, the Chief, the Steelers, all that. Jim, before you talk to us about your daughters, I do want to ask you, since we're talking NBA here a moment ago, your latest book, it chronicles basketball. Talk about what this book is about, and I want you to, I'm going to ask you a real heavy question. I want you to name the five greatest players in the history of pro basketball, in your opinion. But tell us about the book.
You'd love who's going to win, who's the best five.
Well, that's what the people want to hear.
Nah.
This is your latest book, right?
Yes.
So tell us about that.
You'd be surprised. The best book that I've ever written out of the 29 is a book on boxing. And my wife didn't want me to write it because she said no one's going to buy it. And as usual, she was right. But I'm little by little, I'm selling it. And it's called From A to Z, from Ali to Zivic. You're sitting with a guy who sat where you're sitting when Ali Frazier, 29 years old, right there at ringside, where my stomach hurt when that fight was over. But I've gone places where others wouldn't go. One of them being, remember the Aurora Club?
I do.
Okay, I went to the Aurora Club. You know what the Aurora Club is?
I've heard of it.
It was in the Hill District, and it was an all-black after-hours club. And I went to with John Henry Johnson.
I believe I've been there as well.
And John Henry, we're sitting there. I'm the only white guy in the room. And John Henry, the waitress, said, "When are you going to pay me, John Henry? You never pay. You never tip." Oh, my God. Don't start anything. And we backed out of there like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. But I got a story out of it. And you asked me about my daughters. My one daughter, Sarah, is a pediatric oncologist hematologist at Children's Hospital in Columbus. She has just spoken in Shanghai. She's just spoken in Berlin, in Paris. She's going to Ireland this year to speak there. I'm so proud of my daughters. The other one's in the restaurant business out in Los Angeles. And I remember one day, one of them was opening a new restaurant and the other one was in the emergency room at Children's Hospital here in Pittsburgh. And they're crying to me on the phone about the fact they're working on Saturday and they're working under so much pressure. And I said, "Your dad doesn't have any pity for either one of you. Your dad always worked on weekends." And the younger one said, "Yeah, Dad, but you never had a real job." And they're right. They're right.
Okay.
I enjoy... I'm 75, and I just told this the other day to my minister. I am writing better. I'm writing easier. And he said to me, "Do you find that because of your age that you see things in a different perspective?" And I said, "I do." I said, first of all, I can compare things. I can compare LeBron James with Bill Russell and with Wilt Chamberlain because I actually saw them play and I actually interviewed them. And so a lot of young writers don't have that. I also find that I'm less critical and I'm kinder. I'm kinder.
Softer.
For instance, Rick Barry, I just saw him recently. And Rick Barry, in one book I read, was called the least liked player in pro basketball. But I don't have that in my book. Why? That was not my experience. He was always self-effacing. He was critical of himself, a la Michael Jordan. They were so critical of themselves, and thus their teammates felt pressure, just as LeBron's teammates must feel pressure, because he expects everybody to have the same passion, the same skills, and they don't.
And I know, as tough as this is, we will continue to wrestle until this show is over. Tell us about the damn book, man. Tell us about book.
It took the guy at UCLA to tell me what the book is really about, and that is, I always wrote about athletes from the human standpoint. Now, who are they? What are they all about? There's a story in here about a guy named Reggie Harding. He was the first player to come directly out of high school with a year segment before he played in the NBA. Not Daryl Dawkins, not Bill Willoughby, but Reggie Harding. Now, Reggie Harding was 7 feet, 1 inch tall. He grew up in Detroit, okay? After he's done playing, he couldn't read or write. After he's done playing, he robs a liquor store in his neighborhood. And he pulled a nylon stocking over his head to disguise himself.
At 7 foot one.
And he comes into the liquor store.
Smart, right?
With a gun. And the clerk says, "I know it's you, Reggie." And he said, "No, it isn't me. It isn't me." Do you know that the Spirits of St. Louis had three great players on their front line? They didn't have a good team, but they had three great players. Imagine this. You're talking about who LeBron's playing with. The Spirits of St. Louis on the front line, Moses Malone, Maurice Lucas, whom you knew personally, and Marvin Barnes. Now, Marvin was called Bad News, but you could have given Maurice Lucas that name, Bad News, and you could have given Moses Malone, and it would have fit because they were so tough. You know they're all dead?
Yeah.
They're all dead. They all died in their early 60s. Yeah. And so many of these basketball players, and people don't think of that as a violent sport. George McGinnis was like LeBron James physically, and he had to be helped up onto the stage at this reunion that I went to in Indianapolis. Had to be helped. Could hardly walk.
Time waits for no
Freddie
man.
Lewis. You know Freddie Lewis.
Yeah, but let me.
Can't walk.
Let me redirect you.
Go ahead.
So rather than answer the question I asked you 99 minutes ago, let me try this.
Well, I don't care about the five
best
players.
Let me try this.
Go
who's
ahead.
The greatest player you ever seen?
The greatest player.
Who's the greatest player
seen
you've
them
ever
all.
Well, who's the greatest you've ever seen?
I just told you that LeBron James is now the greatest basketball player I've ever seen.
And Jim, why is it that everyone wants to go to the current player? I think that has a lot to do with it as far as who's the best. I'm a person that says that you really can't say who the best is. You might can say who the best is for a certain era.
Right.
But
I agree
from
with
a
that
history
too.
Perspective, it's very hard to do.
Because the game's changed. You know, the New York Knicks that I covered in 1970 when they won their first NBA title, high school teams in every city in the country now run up and down the court faster than they did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The game has changed so much. There are no centers. There are no centers that play basketball anymore. There's nobody who plays with their back to the basket.
Different
and
type
nobody
of game.
Challenges anybody coming down the lane.
Right.
So in the history of basketball, you're starting your franchise tomorrow. You're taking LeBron before Chamberlain.
No.
Because on the elevator, you said Chamberlain was the greatest.
I said he was the most dominant
so
player.
So who you paying to give him the paycheck to the first time out? Chamberlain or LeBron? Chamberlain.
It's a good
course.
Question.
No, it's on your face. This your
it's
face.
A good
is Chamberlain.
Question. Yeah.
Now and, you know, and your boy BB.
I love Will Chamberlain.
Let me tell you what BB Flannery says. Now we all know BB.
You love BB Flannery.
Well, BB's a great guy, but better than that, and he's a good friend. But he's a basketball nut, and he reads it and knows it and talks it.
What do you think he reads?
But wait a minute. Until he sent me the totality on Kareem. It's almost impossible to argue that the Kareem is not the greatest of all time because statistically nobody can stand up to him.
Well, first of all, Kareem, I just thought about Kareem the other day. Wilt eats Kareem for lunch.
Well, not entirely.
Okay, now Wilt.
Not entirely because Will Chamberlain
had that great hook shot. Nobody could stop him.
Yeah, I mean,
and again, this gets to my point.
And he was agile.
Yeah. Of trying to identify the best players for history for a particular sport, just like Stephen Curry that you mentioned, and Bill mentioned from a shooting aspect, Bill mentioned Pistol Pete Maravich. A lot of people don't realize Pistol Pete, I think he averaged 44 points in college.
A game.
And there was no three-point line.
Now,
could
no
you
one,
imagine averaging 44 points today without a three-point line?
Here's the problem with Pete Maravich. He didn't win.
Well,
he didn't win.
We're talking about shooting
win.
Here. Who's the best shooter?
Well, that's,
and you have to look at
only
the
if you're playing horse.
Well.
Only if you're playing.
Well,
horse.
Charles Barkley never won either.
He didn't play by himself.
And Charles Barkley was a beast.
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm saying Pete Maravich did not contribute to a winning effort. And unlike LeBron James, he can't carry a team on his shoulders.
Did Dan Marino win a Super Bowl? I mean, we could name a lot of players.
No, but Dan Marino was the best passing quarterback ever. Quarterback. Throwing the ball.
But he never won. He didn't win in college. He didn't win in the NFL.
He didn't win championships, but he was pretty good.
Same thing with Pete Maravich.
Yeah.
And he's my homeboy, too. So
I love Pete Maravich. I knew Pete's father.
What do you mean Marino didn't win in college?
You know Pete almost won.
I said a championship.
Pete almost went to Pitt. Did you know that?
You're looking at me like I'm crazy.
Did you know Pete almost played for Pitt?
The last national championship for the University of Pittsburgh was 1976 when my homeboy Tony Dorsett, number 33.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Was the running back. Thank you.
That's right.
Well, Thank you.
I just asked the question. Can I ask the question?
And the Pittsburgh Pirates has not won a World Series since 1979. That's why when you sit up here and you talk about Pittsburgh as the city of champions, I always tell you, do not include the Pittsburgh Pirates.
You know they don't include? Ron Cook, I go after him all the time about this. He talks about what championship teams we had in Pittsburgh, and they talk about who was the last team to win the seventh game at home. And he excludes the Pittsburgh Pipers, who won a pro basketball championship against the New Orleans Buccaneers at the Civic Arena. And Connie Hawkins was the star of the team. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He excludes the Pittsburgh Triangles of World Team Tennis. Now, World Team Tennis, someone just asked me the other day if I covered that, and I did. They had the greatest tennis players in the world playing in the World Team Tennis. So why doesn't that count? And then the other thing that he excludes is the Pittsburgh Hornets, because they say pro championships, not major league championships, pro championships. And the Pittsburgh Hornets won at least three Calder Cup trophies as the champions of the American Hockey League.
Well, they should be counted.
And when I said earlier about when you get older, you can make comparisons, I just made this one this week. I was thinking about McGinnis and how I have a picture in my files where he looks like Hercules. When he was a sophomore at Indiana University. Huh. And here he is getting helped up onto the stage. And the thought that came to my mind this week was, I remember being in Cleveland for the NBA All-Star Game when they announced the 50 greatest players in the history of the NBA. And the last one who was introduced was the first dominant big man in the NBA. Who was that, Bill?
George Mikan, I guess.
That's why you have the show.
Well,
George Mikan of the Minneapolis Lakers, who was 6'10", went to DePaul, played for Ray Meyer there. He had to be helped up onto the platform. He was the last player introduced. He was the dominant man. And a gentleman reached back, who's not thought of as a kind soul, was Bill Russell. Bill Russell reached back, took his hand, and helped him up onto this. Not only helped him up onto the stage, you can watch this on the internet, but stabilized him once he was up there because he was faltering a bit. But I'm thinking, things don't change. George McGinnis now needs help. George Mikan needed help.
Well,
that's shocking.
And I think Bill Russell's 82. So Bill Russell was up in age. I mean, that's a heck of a compliment to Russell being able to assist someone at that level. But time waits for no man, as we well know. As a matter of fact, probably in 5 years, we're going to have to help you in here on the show. So it takes.
I'll be here. I said to my wife today, Bill Neal.
The important thing is you show up.
I have to go.
I appreciate it.
I have to fight traffic. I got here. You know why I got here? I didn't even have any traffic getting here. First of all, the Pirates aren't drawing a lot of people. But I was thinking on the way in, you and I probably know the streets of Pittsburgh better than most of the citizens of the city. And it's because we played Sandlot Sports. And you went to every neighborhood.
You had to.
We played the Homewood Scorpions, the Brushton Bulldogs.
Well, Jim, you didn't expect any traffic for the Pirates, did you? There's no way.
Don't give him ammunition.
It's a shame. You know they're dying. You haven't read this in the paper yet.
But hold it.
They're down 3,500 or something like that per game.
Listen.
They're taking a financial bath.
Let me close the door on this, since you don't want to do it.
The
five greatest players of all time.
Here we go.
Kareem, Chamberlain, Jordan, Magic, and Dr. J. That's my five. Not in any particular order or position. Just five of the greatest players. Now, and I will not, and I refuse to make LeBron James. But I will tell you this Bill Russell story. And I've told this story on the air here. We had Bill Russell here about 7 or 8 years ago at the Heinz History Center. I was on a committee, and I had the pleasure of actually meeting him for the second time. I actually met him in college back in the early 70s. But we had lunch after the ceremony, and me being me, I made sure I got real close to Bill Russell. And I'm firing questions at him, and he's not minding at all. And I said to him, actually this had to be 10 years ago because – maybe even 12 years ago, because LeBron was just getting started. And Bill Russell looked at me and said, he said two things to me that I thought at the moment was astonishing. He said, if you think the Larry Bird you see is great, you ought to see the Larry Bird we see in practice. He said, Larry Bird is greater than you know him to be. And that's Bill Russell talking. Secondly, he said, LeBron James will be the greatest basketball player of all time when it's all said and done. That came from Bill Russell. You know, and I was sitting right next to him. So I laugh and I joke and I kid about being a LeBron hater. But you can't deny his greatness.
Now,
his physical attributes and his maturity and where he's grown to, taking the responsibility, taking the last shot.
I'm going to try to help you out.
Taking the position of being the leader.
I hope he stays in Cleveland.
I'm going to help you out, Bill, because...
When
you sound bad, the show sounds bad. Okay, you just told us you're 5 all-time players in NBA history. You didn't include LeBron James, but you just sat up here and said you had a personal conversation with Bill Russell, and Bill Russell, one of the greatest players in NBA history, told you that LeBron James would be the greatest player 12 years ago.
And your confusion is
what? And you're confirming what he said today, that you talked about his greatness and he's one of the greatest that played. So given everything that you just said, I would think you would include him in your top 5 of all time.
And the optimum word you used was you would think.
No, Kevin, I don't need what you said. You're contradicting yourself.
I did not contradict myself. I told you what other people said.
Kevin,
my
what you
position
said.
Is that he's not one of the 5 greatest. Bill Russell said that. I don't consider him one of the 5 greatest players of all the players I've seen.
Well, here's the thing about that.
So Kevin, I don't know how to confuse you.
Kevin made this comment earlier. Different eras. Different eras.
Greatness is greatness. It's all relative.
We haven't mentioned the name Oscar Robertson since I've been in this cupboard.
Doesn't get mentioned often. Okay. Or Larry Bird.
Triple-double. Average. Triple-double.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you got Oscar Robertson in the backcourt with Jerry West. Okay? And you got either Wilt Chamberlain... Or you've
I thought you didn't want to do this.
No, what I'm talking about is this is a different era.
Well,
in their era.
You couldn't listen to what you were saying, Bill.
In their era, they were the best. I'm a big believer. For instance, Johnny Weissmuller is from Windber, PA, up near Johnstown. Little kids that swim in clubs around this area have better times in sprints and swimming than Johnny Weissmuller. Better known as Tarzan.
Right.
Okay. I think great athletes meet the test of their time. You can't tell me that today, for instance, you can't say that Jack Lambert and Jack Ham and Andy Russell couldn't play in the NFL today. They'd be bigger.
It's all relative.
Everybody's bigger.
Exactly. It's all relative.
And the thing is that, you know, Bullet Bill Dudley, he wasn't fast. It just sounded good. Bill, he was slow. Well, he was 5'8 and a half.
The best analogy is this, and I tell young guys this all the time. Of course, Jesse Owens then is not as fast as Usain Bolt is today. But if Jesse Owens trained and had all the same variables that Usain Bolt has, he would be as fast. So it's all relative. Yeah, it's eras, but it's all relative. Everybody from the past has to have the same variables available to them in the future. Or vice versa. So it's all relative. But for the sake of argument, just comparably, it makes good barroom conversation and good argument. But I one thing I hold on to very strongly is that, and one name that rarely gets mentioned when you ask people to name their top players, Kareem's history is almost impeccable. Never lost a high school game. 3-time state champion. 3-time state champion MVP. Never lost a college game. Or whatever that UCLA history is, beat the varsity UCLA team, 6 NBA titles, four MVPs. I mean, most percentage.
So I think Kareem. I think Kareem has to take credit for the fact that he's not the most popular basketball player.
Well, he's been on Dancing with the Stars.
Well, now he's trying. Now he's trying.
He's trying.
He's trying. All of a sudden, trying.
Well, your personality.
I blame John Wood.
Your personality.
No, well, he was a militant. He was militant minded.
It's not about being militant.
I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, his career was very similar to Muhammad Ali. A lot of people forget that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor, played for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I do.
And then went
played
to
with Oscar Robertson.
Right.
So and got a title.
And changed his name just like Muhammad Ali.
Now, there's nothing about him that reminds me of Muhammad Ali.
He changed his name.
Muhammad Ali was affable with everybody. He was a showman.
Well, they had a different personality.
It's not just the personality. John Wooden would not allow his players to be interviewed, okay? Kareem started out in that environment where he was not to talk to the media, whereas at other schools, they allow the players to interact with the media. I think that Jabbar has now written books and everything else. I remember one time wanting to interview him in a locker room in Madison Square Garden. If stare down could make me melt, I would have melted right on the spot.
Did Barry Bonds ever stare you down?
I never had an interaction with Barry Bonds.
Okay.
Never. I was in New York at the time, so I didn't have to deal with that. I've always had great relations with black athletes, and especially black athletes who were considered controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And I often thought that I was cheating. Like, why? Why? I remember Dave Parker saying to me once, I was in New York at the time. I wish we had somebody like you in Pittsburgh. I always had good relationships with, the only guy that ever gave me a bad time was Alex Johnson. And Alex Johnson's own brother, Ron Johnson, of the New York Giants football team, was one of the easiest guys in the world to deal with. I just think that Kareem didn't do anything for himself to sell himself beyond his, I mean, he had tremendous basketball ability. You mentioned him, Bill Walton, who I'm not thrilled about Bill Walton and what he's all about, but he was also a pretty good center at UCLA.
His name doesn't come up much, but
he wouldn't be considered one of the best. He was a very good basketball
he's
player.
He's in the top 50.
He's in the top 50.
Well, I'm the very best I'm talking about. You got to at least be in the top 10. Is what I'm saying.
Well, if you say
when
top
you
10.
Say that, when you say that, one of the guys that I was around recently, who's not in the top 10,
mm-hmm.
Rick Barry,
mm-hmm.
hell of a basketball player. Mm-hmm. I mean, and George Gervin was there at this one reunion too. George hollered out to the audience, "I could still throw 30 down on you, any one of you." Mm-hmm. And Barry says he can still hit 8 out of 10 free throws.
I believe that.
And just to go back to my point with Kareem and Muhammad Ali. Again, they changed their name. They both were champions. They both were controversial. So that's what I'm talking about when I say their careers were very similar.
Well, they were.
They
were very similar. And you know, Lou Alcindor stood with Jim Brown and stood with Muhammad Ali and stood with Leroy Kelly. Those guys had the same social mindset about change. So they were similar, certainly similar in that regard. And Kev, I'm not quite sure what you're pointing to, but I do want to make sure we get in the controversial baseball play before we take this next break, or were you going another direction?
Well, I thought we would get that in after the break.
Well, we have 5 minutes.
Just to finish up with the 5 minutes that we have, and we can include it if we have time, but I wanted to talk about something from the game on Monday night that was quite amazing and probably the main reason that Houston lost the game. Houston is a team that had a 35% 3-point shot average during the regular season. How do you take a team that averaged 35% at the 3-point line and went 0 for 27 from the second quarter to the fourth quarter? How does that happen?
Kevin, when you're watching basketball games on television on a college level or on a pro level, and the guy goes to the free throw line in the last 2 minutes of the game, and the announcer says, he has hit 11 of 13 free throws, or he has an 88% free throws. And I say to my wife, or she'll, but not in the last 2 minutes of a basketball game, not with a championship on the line.
It matters.
Houston couldn't put the ball in the hoop. You know, there was a basketball coach in the Hill District at Heron Hill Junior High School named Pete Tempirio. He had coached football at Westinghouse, won championships. He even coached Walt Harper in tennis at Heron Hill Junior High. And he won. And he won in basketball. And someone said, well, what did you tell the players? Because you really didn't know any strategy. He said, I told them to put the ball in the basket. And sometimes it's that simple. Yeah. Sometimes coaches get carried away. What did he do at Westinghouse? He pitched right and pitched left. And it worked.
And so, dared people to stop him.
Again, they went 0-27, and I guess that's a record.
Well,
no one has done that in NBA history. And during that stretch, Golden State outscored Houston 59-34.
Yeah.
So that's if you want to take a look at why Houston couldn't win the game. That was a big factor, even with Chris Paul being out.
And someone said to me that earlier today at the bank that
Bank.
Well, you
what
know,
what are you doing at the bank?
I had to put my $5 deposit in. So, and he says to me, he says, well, why didn't they go to plan B? And I tried to explain to him, you know, when you practice a game plan, you can't snap your fingers and go to another plan. It's not instinctive. It's not conditioned. It's not a mindset. When you've been practicing a certain way to play the game pretty much all year, when you start to falter on that, you can't flip a switch and go to plan B. Not in basketball.
And I disagree with that.
Well, listen.
And I hear it all the time. This is what we do. This is what got us there. Well, what got you there, if you continue to do it, you're going to lose.
Well, apparently.
You need to change. You need to adjust. Here's
what you can disagree with. They didn't have a plan B because they didn't practice a plan B. If they had practiced a plan B, they probably would have went to it. The mindset of basketball players is repetitious conditioning. It goes on repeatedly. Now, football is a different thing. You can insert certain kinds of plays to change the course of a game. Basketball players are not the same as that.
I can give you a plan B right now as far as what they
apparently
could have done.
They didn't have a plan B because they didn't implement it.
They have
well,
a plan
then
B.
What you would be offering is the coach is stupid.
No.
To have a plan B and not go
sometimes
to it.
Sometimes coaches make bad decisions, and I'll give you a plan B.
I guarantee you.
Let me give you the plan B you said there's not a plan B.
I guarantee you this.
And the plan B is isolation basketball. Houston is known for playing isolation basketball.
Why didn't they go to it?
And you had Harden on the floor, and you could have had more isolation plays
for
him.
Why didn't they go to it?
And you could have told him, stop it with the three-point shots. We're going to do an ISO. You take control.
Yeah, but here's why that doesn't work. Because basketball players don't you are a basketball player, and you know that it doesn't work that way. You're going to go to your strength. You're going to go to your instinct.
Not
almost
if I'm going to lose.
Almost all the time. And what happens is, the reason they keep doing it is because they believe in themselves. They believe that they can hit that three. That's why they keep shooting it. They don't keep shooting the three thinking I might miss it. Every time that ball leaves their hand, they think this one's going in. Because it's instinctive. They go to their strength. And that's why they don't go to plan B. And that's why it doesn't work that way. I don't even know why I spend time talking to you. You went to a Division II. You went to a 2A school. I went to a 4A school. And I'm talking to a guy.
I went to a 1A school.
I went to Penn Hills. All four of us. All four stars. And he went to Aliquippa's, two stars.
Aliquippa was triple A when I played.
They played McKee Sport. All the second, the 2A schools. I don't even relate to that. Let's take
a
break.
Those schools had the best athletes.
And you went to Hazelwood.
Thank you.
He went to, wait, Kevin, now you and I can laugh at this. He went to Hazelwood. They played their high school ball at a middle school gym. I mean, please, give
first
me a break.
Of all, I didn't go to high school in Hazelwood.
Too bad.
I went to the
now
best
we're
high
on a
school
break,
in Pittsburgh.
So nobody can hear you. We'll be back in a moment.
VIPs get the full treatment everywhere they go. First class this, front row that, and all access everything, right? Well, that's what you get when you subscribe to UrbanMediaToday.com. You'll be the first to receive exclusive updates in entertainment, news, sports, finance, health, and fashion. You'll also have a direct line to our online station that gives you the best in R&B, classic soul, jazz, gospel, old school hip-hop, and more. What else does an Urban Media Today VIP get? How about a chance at winning great prices like free tickets to shows? That's a good price. Gift cards, Urban Media Today swag, and more. And if you don't get enough of HBCU sports, how about an all-access pass to the latest in HBCU football and basketball online? And also on Urban Media Today radio. And most importantly, you'll receive access to Urban Media Today's podcast on sports, news, finance, entertainment, and more. It's a look inside the urban lifestyle in the palm of your hands or on your desktop. So subscribe today for only a year for $19.99 and we'll do the rest. Urban Media Today is your source for urban entertainment, news, sports, fitness, and lifestyle. So what you waiting for? Log on to urbanmediatoday.com and subscribe today.